You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, being a lifelong Texan, I've always been convinced that Australia is just Texas, but bigger, hotter, drier, and just like Texas, everyone and everything wants to kill you. But it's got better beaches. It's basically Texas as an island with all the other folks who are just too tough to ever make it in the mother country, and they just sent them over there. It's like, just get away from us. Go to this horrible, inhospitable place where even the cutest little mammal is probably highly venomous. But, you know, this actually, all joking aside, Australia, being where it's situated during this time of climate change, has really had some really hot, brutal summers lately that have resulted in just horrific, horrible, out-of-control brush fires, and it's really bad. It's a really interesting idea to take a movie and kind of set it against this really harsh backdrop during a time where it seems like the world is on fire. I'm talking about a movie called The Dry, a movie that's just now coming out here on VOD, but was released on January 1st in Australia and was actually an enormous box office and critical hit. And we're just now getting to it. And I think it's worth talking about. I'm Marco, and joining me today is TC.
Good day. I'll do it.
Get them all out now. Melina?
You totally took what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Now I don't get to debut my far superior Australian accent.
Oh, please do. Show them how it's done.
That's right.
Good day, mate. Let's see if we can find some kangaroos to throw on the barbie with the shrimp. Sorry. That was probably a little dark.
There you go. I'm now suddenly hungry and also feeling kind of guilty. I hope kangaroos aren't endangered, but I would eat one if someone gave me one.
Oh, no, they do not give a shit about the kangaroos down there. They run them over with their trucks like they're roadkill.
They really, that's brush meat, right? Or bush meat, whatever they call it. I'm also joined by Neil, who probably isn't eating kangaroo as we speak.
Not today, but I've tried kangaroo in, of all places, Minneapolis.
Whoa.
Checks out.
Yeah.
That tracks.
You know, it turns out Minnesota nice, they ain't that nice. They'll eat your kangaroo.
Yeah.
They don't care. Like, that kangaroo was in my way. It'd still be alive, and then it just stayed over there.
I didn't say it was roadkill.
I'm sure it was properly prepared. But yeah, this movie, The Dry, which is directed by Robert Connolly and adapted from a best-selling novel of the same name by Jane Harper. As I said before, this was a big hit in Australia. It stars Eric Bana as a federal agent by the name of Aaron Falk, who returns to his small rural countryside hometown after 20-something years. He's there to attend the funeral of one of his best friends from his youth. His best friend murdered his wife and one of their two children. And it just looks suspicious. It seems like a murder-suicide, but he gets pulled into the investigation, and the further he goes along, the more he does so, the more the secrets of his past start coming to light. It's one of those movies where there's a whole lot of suspects, a whole lot of motives, and lots of twists and turns and red herrings. I thought this was pretty decent. What did you guys think of it?
I think decent is the word. Not to give too much away there. I don't want to spill all my feelings at the top of this.
I liked it. It's to do a film like this that is a mystery, it's a whodunit, without verging into the foot chase through the dark thriller territory or to add in some supernatural element that a lot of horror movies do. It's impressive to pull this off in a very straightforward whodunit drama that I liken to Broadchurch, if you've ever seen the series Broadchurch. It's the same tense, slow burn, atmospheric, especially with the cinematography, especially with the dry that is Australia at the time, and that atmosphere all throughout this thing, and the subtle performances of everyone involved. It's neat to see a movie pull this off, and I'm not surprised to hear that this was a box office hit, because sitting here and watching for the screener squad, we watch everything at home for the most part, especially during the past year or so. And most of the stuff I've seen, I've gone, yeah, this was meant to be watched at home. But as soon as this movie started with its opening imagery, I thought, damn, this must have looked amazing on the big screen.
I got that same feeling.
Yeah, and probably packed a lot of resonance for an Australian audience.
Yeah.
Who were very aware of, you know, just exactly what was going outside their backyards as, you know, they watch fires burning. Yeah, that's a really great environment, TC. It really does set us into this tinder trap where you just feel like at any moment things are going to erupt and just burn out of control. A slow burn is the right way to describe this.
And that's not a pun.
No, it's really not.
Or maybe it is.
Oh, I really liked it, too. Like TC said, it wasn't your standard whodunit. This was a little bit different where, yeah, almost everyone seems like a viable candidate. Outside of our main character, outside of the dead husband's parents, you're like, they could have did it. They could have did
and
it.
And even with our main character, there's a murder from the past.
Yes, I was going to mention that. We have a slow unravel in the current time, but these little tidbits of the town has a history of something related to this, which is tied to our main character as well, that we're slowly unraveling. I think at times it got a little too slow, but it never stopped and just crawled. Mm-hmm. It was a little dry in places. I'll pun it up. But I did really like it a lot. And for 2 hours, and maybe slow a couple of times, it didn't feel like 2 hours.
No.
It's really interesting because they have that sort of structure where you've got this investigation going on in the present day, but it's constantly cutting back to an event that happened 20 years ago that involved the investigator when he lived in this town as a teenager. Two boys, two girls, one of them doesn't make it, is found drowned, and there's suspicion cast upon the boys as to what exactly were they doing before this young girl disappeared and then was later found dead. Aaron, the character played by Banna as an adult, a letter that he wrote to the girl was found in her pocket. And so that makes him a suspect. And because it's a small town and people are very suspicious, he kind of has to leave to avoid a scandal. And as the movie progresses, we see more of that mystery and how it connects or not to the ongoing mystery. But to kind of point out to what Neil said, I did find it dragged a little bit at times. And that's one of those tropes that I've actually gotten a little tired of, where I'm getting a background story, but they only give it to me in pieces. But I kind of already know where it's going, and you're just kind of teasing it out. At 2 hours, it's a pretty tight 2 hours, but I think it could have been tighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed.
And TC, to speak to your point, for a second there, I thought that you had stolen all my notes because you basically said them verbatim. Everything that you liked about this is exactly what I really loved about it. I love the slow burn. I love the atmosphere. I love how everything is tinged in yellow to kind of give you a sense of probably how hot and unforgiving and just how probably, drink every time you say this word, dry everything probably is. As a result, I was with it the whole time. Especially because I literally watched this back-to-back with another mystery thriller that was far more flashy, far more stagey, and far more stupid. So it actually made me appreciate all of the subtleties that this movie brought, where it's actually asking you to put it together. It's not spoon-feeding you at any point.
Yeah.
And I love stories like this. I've always loved thriller mysteries like this, where you've got somebody who comes back to the small town and clearly they're holding a grudge because it's a small town. The only nice small town ever depicted is Mayberry and the one from Gilmore Girls. And as we all know, those are only in the movies.
Yeah, there's a real sense of place here. You do see that it's a lot of farmland. There's a lot of arid space. There's a lot of trees and indications that once this was a very lush farmland, a lot of agriculture, a lot of cattle. And now everybody's just sort of hanging on because of the drought as the opening title tells us. It's been over 325 days since it rained. Everybody's worried that a single spark could just set the whole countryside ablaze. And it's in that environment that our story takes place. And I think that's a really good visual device to kind of keep amping up the tension. It's always there in the background. You're always aware of the heat, the fact that people can't even get water to bathe properly at times. It's almost like it feels like a daytime noir.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think most scenes do take place during the day.
It's a tinderbox about to explode.
Yeah, like Melina was saying, this is an adult story. Mm-hmm. It's for grown-ups who want to watch a serious drama. They have some mystery, but it's not about chases or explosions or high concept. It's just the story of a man investigating his hometown and trying to find out what exactly happened while reconciling this horrible thing that happened in his past.
Yeah.
I swore, you guys were saying how it was shot. I wouldn't have been surprised if the screen would have cracked at times. Because the yellows, everything you guys mentioned, you thought everything was brittle and was going to break. And maybe why they would lean on the flashbacks more is because it was showing you a more vibrant, alive town. I mean, we saw that riverbed multiple times in the past, and the movie opens where he's visiting it, and we don't know why, but it's just dry dust at that point.
And it used to be this river they could swim in, like drown in, essentially.
Yeah. So maybe they leaned on the flashbacks a little bit more to show you a contrast of what this was, and even then there was something rotten beneath the surface, but now it's brittle and dry and is going to burst into flames with the slightest. And now there's a murder suicide of a family going on. So it's going to blow.
It's a big tinderbox.
Mm-hmm. And Marco, you said well about it's an adult movie. This is something that takes it's very well seriously taken. This reminds me of a couple of other movies. I mentioned Broadchurch as a show, and I say that in order to kind of give you a sense of if this movie's for you. If you watched the British BBC series Broadchurch, you're going to dig this movie. Wind River, which is a Taylor Sheridan movie, has a similar, almost the reverse of this, because it takes place in winter the entire time. And there's this phenomenal film from about 10 years ago that I don't know anyone who's seen. It's Tommy Lee Jones, and it's In the Valley of Elah.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good, good.
That's the one he directed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow burn murder mystery that takes place in Texas. and it's a similar, serious, mature type of thriller where you don't get the punch out. In fact, the way the dry here plays out, that tinderbox, as I said, the ways that this could come to a head, they found a very well-crafted climax that had a nice denouement, if you want to look from a screenwriting perspective. And that maturity and the nuance of this filmmaking is quite impressive. Again, because this could so easily slip into melodrama or so easily be made flashy like A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo with some very minor changes.
I think that, yeah, I would agree with you entirely that I think that's one of the things I loved the most about it was the fact that it was so mature. I feel like it went out of its way almost to not fall into the melodramatic trap or to throw contrivances at you just for the sake of kind of getting a from the audience. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that it did that because I feel like today's thrillers, they feel like they need to do that because they want to make it a popcorn film. They want to make it something that is going to get the audience all riled up in their seats. I so love that this took the other approach. It's very quiet. It's the word that I used in my notes for not just the performances, but just a lot of the story elements is subdued. And as a result,
it's personal.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was my favorite aspect about it. On the other hand, I had a hard time deciding who I would recommend it to because I know people, for all the reasons that we liked this movie, probably wouldn't because they'd be like, oh my God, this is boring. Why did you make me watch this? I want to go watch The Woman in the Window.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like you're watching real people with real problems and real secrets. And sometimes those secrets are petty or misguided, but it's the kind of dumb shit that people do in real life more often than not. I did think there was one or two clues that ended up being a little contrived, but I understand sometimes you need a way to get from point A to point B. But otherwise, I thought it played it pretty fair because as TC and I think Neil also mentioned, at any point you feel like just about anybody in this town could have done it. They all have secrets, we find out. They're all hiding things. Even the character of Aaron is hiding something. Whether he's guilty or not, everyone in this town has some kind of lie that helps them get through their existence. And more than one mentions that the only reason they moved to this little town was to get away from all of the fast pace, the crime, you know, all of the problems of the big city. And now, of course, all of that baggage has followed them into this really dry, ready-to-explode environment. And I don't think we've mentioned enough about the cast. We've mentioned Eric Bana, but there's a wide range of suspects, all played by some really fine Australian actors, many of whom are going to be familiar. You've seen them before, like Genevieve O'Reilly, Kier O'Donnell. The always great Bruce Spence shows up in this.
This like, cast is amazing.
Yeah, it's a stacked cast.
Yeah, it's impressive. The young to old versions of people are so well cast that you would think they were relatives.
Oh, yeah. That's usually my biggest qualm with movies that use flashbacks, where I'm like, oh my God, did you guys not look at the actor who is playing the older version before you went and hired this kid? They look nothing like them. This kid, I was like, not only does he look like him, but I am not paying attention to the actor while they're going through the flashbacks. I fully believe that I am watching the younger version of this character. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, major kudos to them for that. Yeah, and at the cast, it's so many of them who I'm like, I didn't really know them by name right off the bat, but I certainly, it's a bunch of people where every single one of them, you're like, that guy, I know them from this. I know them from this.
And of course they're Australian.
And they're all great.
I particularly liked Kier O'Donnell, who plays Sergeant Recco, the small town cop. He's kind of in awe of the Eric Bana character, who we find out is like a big shot investigator in the city. You know, here he is, this small town cop. He's never done a murder investigation. He's clearly kind of rattled. He obviously should not be allowing this outsider to have any kind of involvement in this case, but he seems to just go along with it because he's really impressed by this. And you think, well, he's just going to be the small town dumb cop, maybe light comic relief. But within seconds of meeting him, we realize he's searching for a clue that's going to be important later. And he quickly says something about the location of one of the bodies, which immediately tells you that there's something wrong here. He knows there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't, he isn't able to put his finger on it yet. And I did enjoy that subversion of the small town cop who actually ends up being a good partner to the Eric Bana character.
Yeah.
He's not played as an idiot. All of these characters feel kind of real in the brief amount of time they're allowed to appear.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ones that don't appear as idiots, you suspect are in on it. Mm-hmm. Rocco's one, you're like, I don't think he's in on it. He's honestly trying to figure this out.
Yeah, and I think he might have, but, you know, he needed assistance.
Yeah, because this is a small town. Things like that, as they say, they don't happen. I mean, he even asks, Eric Bana asks him at a certain point, he's like, is this the first time that you've ever had to do a first response? And he says, yes, and he's clearly rattled. And you're like, this guy's not incapable. He's just never had to face anything like this before. And he knows that he needs Eric Bana in order to get where they need to go in this investigation. But it doesn't stop him from being like, hey, you know what? You're crossing the line and I can't let you do that because I need to do my job.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. I wouldn't even say most realistic cop portrayal, but certainly the most sympathetic. And
yeah, this really does feel like, I mean, it is based on a novel and this feels very novelistic. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been compressed to make a 2-hour film, but you do feel like all of these characters, I suspect, in the book are even more fleshed out.
Yeah.
And are all strong characters in their own right.
And that comes through in like little details, even just Melanie just mentioning now that moment where it's like, is this your first? Yeah, this is my first. And Eric Bana just says, keep going to therapy. Like, keep going to talk to counseling. That'll get you through this. That sort of veteran talking to a rookie without hammering it over the audience's head. It's that real subtle stuff that's likely drawn directly from the novel.
Yeah, it never becomes a buddy cop film, or it never goes the whole, here's the veteran mixed with the cocky young rookie. Mm-hmm, I'm mm-hmm. like, any movie that subverts that in this day and age, I'm like, okay, you've already earned a star.
Well, why don't we go ahead then and start leaning into our final thoughts. Melina, why don't you lead us, please?
Okay, so at the start of this review, I said that the decent was the word. And I think that that was probably a little unfair, because as we're talking about this, I'm reminded of all the things I truly did love about this and all the things that I thought really were good. Not just good, but great. if there's an inherent flaw with this film, I think that maybe it's because I've seen so many thrillers and I've seen every episode of Psych twice. I've gotten pretty good at picking up clues in terms of who I think the person is. It's like, it's the Dwight Schrute model. It's the person I most medium suspect. And I put a marker next to this particular character pretty early on. And so when the shoe dropped, or the other shoe drops, instead of me being like, oh my God, I was like, oh, there it is. But it wasn't dumb. I looked back and I was like, no, this was here. This was building to this. It's there if you're looking for it. It's just, unfortunately, I was already looking for it. And I thought it was a little too easy to spot. So I think if I have a major problem with this, it's not one, but two of the reveals. I thought one was predictable. Other one, I thought, I've seen this so many times before, this particular twist. And I thought the decision to drop that in the last, like, 4 minutes of the film, I thought it was too neatly packaged. And I thought it was like, okay, well, here's everything that you need to know to solve all of these years of mystery. And I was like, oh, really? Okay, well, I guess that's just a personal bias of mine where I'm like, I don't like it when it feels like it's too convenient. That felt like a script choice and not organic. But other than that, you guys are really bringing up so many things that even while I was watching it, I fully appreciate how much I loved it. So I am actually going to revise my original rating, and I'm going to give this 4.5 out of 5 dingo babies.
Dingo babies?
Oh, you spoiled it. You weren't supposed to tell them that the dingo done it all along.
Oh, well, we know it's always the dingo. Dingoes don't like babies, especially in Australia.
Well, I've never eaten a dingo, but from the one man here who has eaten kangaroo, I think he gets to go next. That would be Neil.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I didn't guess or hone in on who did maybe what in the current timeline. So I was still like chasing Dust Devils through that. But with the flashback, I kind of guessed pieces of that. But it was still satisfying when it unraveled because it made sense. It didn't feel repeated or tired old ground they had covered. I love how it unravels. And I didn't really get the feeling he was this super cop, but he was just a cop who had had one big break. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't a super cop, and he wasn't a cop running from his troubles in the city. He just happened to come back for a funeral, and he gets pulled in because of his connection to one of the, well, the supposed suspect. But then he's just really solid the whole way through. So this wasn't your stereotypical stuff. Nothing about this is stereotypical, really, other than maybe they could have tightened it up a little bit. And things Melanie said were dead on, too. But I can still feel like I can recommend it to most of my friends where, yes, I'm like that, where you have to pick certain movies because, oh, this has got subtitles, so they're not going to watch it. Or this one's a real mindfuck. They're not going to watch this or get it or even try to get it. This one, I feel really comfortable recommending it. I just don't know how distribution will go here in the U.S. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 months without rain.
Oh, and scarily accurate.
Yeah.
TC?
Mysteries like this in film don't come along very often. As I said, they tend to verge into melodrama more often than anything. Or if they have the horror elements, it leans more into that. So it's impressive as hell to craft a tense drama that keeps you engaged and guessing throughout the entire runtime. Even if it does slow down a little bit here and there, the details and the nuances and the small choices in all these performers who are just working at the top of their game kept me engaged. So if you're a fan of Forensic Files, or if you're a fan of shows like I had mentioned Broadchurch, if you get sucked in by whodunit, then definitely give this movie a watch. Eric Bana is fantastic. Everyone is. The script is tight. The visuals are cinematic. This may end up being a sleeper hit here just based on circumstances, whether it's just this isn't the type of movie that truly becomes a blockbuster in America when we have so many explosions to watch as a general audience. But as I said, I didn't know this had come out in theaters in Australia, so I'm happy to hear that it did well over there at the very least, because this deserves to be seen on the big screen. The quality of this film is worthy of sitting in a theater in the dark watching this big. I can't quite pinpoint what makes this work where others fail, because like I said, that's all in the details. This is a very good movie, as we've discussed here, and I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 gallons of gasoline.
Which all across America, you can see people trying to buy right now.
I think it was just that one couple, actually. I think they took them all.
Oh, I got a bag right here.
I swear, where I live, they wouldn't even let you do that.
Let's see, how many gallons of gasoline go in a trash bag? Because I got a whole bunch of trash bags. Oh my God, some of these people. Don't hoard gas, folks. It only makes things worse. And you'll blow yourself up, and we will laugh at you when you do. No,
Marco, the sequel always has to be more explosive. Last year, we were hoarding toilet paper. This year, we're hoarding gasoline. Give me your review.
Next year, we're going to be getting gas-soaked rolls of toilet paper and throwing them like Molotov cocktails. Next Halloween, we're paper bombing your house.
Thunderdome.
Oh, God forbid. If anybody does that, you didn't hear it from us. We're not liable for whatever stupid shit you do in your free time.
The opinions stated here on the Screener Squad are that of Marco's alone.
And do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the other cast members. But off the record, they probably do.
Yes, don't set stuff on fire, kids. Please don't. Or else you might end up like the characters in The Dry. And you don't want that. We've already talked a lot about what makes this movie work for us. I agree with pretty much everything you guys are saying. I'm still in the opinion that it could have been a little bit tighter, and I felt that B story was dragged out a little bit more, and there's one or two clues that feel a little too on the nose. But nevertheless, it's really impressive to just see a thoughtful, well-played drama that has a whodunit at its core, plays by the rules, and actually just nails all of those beats and gives us an ending that isn't entirely expected and isn't disappointing. Even if it's not who you guessed it was going to be or for the reasons you thought it was going to be, that's really great. Because like Lena was saying earlier, you can usually tell a mile away what it's going to be. And so that was a nice surprise for me. I'm really impressed by the performances. Eric Bana gives a very restrained performance, a very internal performance, and it allows all the other actors to be a little bit bigger, a little bit more colorful, and that's exactly what you want a leading man to do, especially when all of these strange characters might actually be suspects. This is highly recommended, but with that caveat that if that's not your sort of thing, you may not be totally enthused by it. But I think if you give it a chance, if you just want a good, well-told story, well-performed, great to look at, this is worth your time. I give this 8 out of 10 unexpected a cappella renditions of Under the Milky Way Tonight by The Church. I did not expect to hear that. So that made this 80s kid happy.
Normally, when I say that I wish that something had been a miniseries or a TV show, I usually mean that as a criticism. Mm. In this case, I was like, I want this to be a miniseries or a TV show just because I really want to see more of these people. And when it was over, I was like, no, I want more. I want this to keep going.
I think this well is run dry.
Oh.
Hey, I got to end on a pun somehow or Chris will beat me.
Who done it? Marco done it.
It's always me. I always done it.